thank God for his grace. Once again, it's a joy to see all of you in God's house, and not the least of which, Pastor and Sister Williford are back from their trip. We're glad they're back safely. Very thankful they got to be in North Carolina with Sister Williford's mom for Mother's Day weekend and her birthday, I might add. But we're thankful they're back safe and sound. We're looking forward to our split sessions with, if I can say this right, Tres Hombres Jóvenes. Did I get it? No. Three young men, that is, for those of you that don't speak Spanish, which I am one. But no. We are very proud of these young men, Brother Brad DeLong, Michael McGuire, and where'd he go? Oh, you moved up close this weekend, Brother Peter Wright. This is good. He was on the back row last week. And we're very, very appreciative of these young men. As we mentioned last week, they are APC's own, have grown up in the church and come through our children's ministry. And of course, I know that their parents are also very proud and thankful of them, and we owe them honor for the teaching and training that they instilled in these young men. And if I may say it this way, I'm sure they're grateful that their quote-unquote boys have accepted the call to the ministry, and they're doing us all proud as a church family and their natural family. And they're going to be teaching to us some principles from Scripture on these different topics that we have selected. And I might add that these subjects have come as a result of the survey that we sent out back in March by email. So thanks for participating in that. It let us know what was of interest to you, and that's what we follow. And so without further ado, we're going to let those of you whose last names begin with an A or a B, you'll be once again in this overflow room, but tonight your instructor will be Professor Wright. So you can stand, all of you those fit in that category, follow this man to your room. The overflow room will give you a chance to get out the door before we do the next, but your last name is starting with an A or a B. So essentially the same group, although we may have some folks that didn't get to be here last week, so that'll be over there. If you're not familiar, I think you can follow the crowd and get there. And then the second group, which will be in the fellowship hall, the last name is beginning with R through Z, and your instructor tonight will be Michael McGuire II. So we'll let this group stand and head over to the fellowship hall. That's a little larger one based on our demographics, so we'll give them a chance to head out. And then obviously, those whose names, last names begin with C through Q will remain in the sanctuary. And you've probably already deduced that your instructor is none other than our student pastor, Brother Brad DeLong. He brought his own podium. So the outlet students that stay in here, it'd be like any other Wednesday night for you. But I guess, do you need this mic, or are you going to just yell at them? Oh, for recording purposes. Okay. So you want to be heard is what you're saying. All right, I'm just having fun. I got to get out of here. Let's give Brad DeLong a great hand. We're proud of this young man. Good luck.
Oh, yeah, you'll leave it. I will preach at you next week. Okay, so you all are not left out. Why don't you all stand? And I'm going to have you do something that may upset the fruit basket a little bit, all right? Some of you already know where I'm going with this. This is going to help my attention span and focus so that I don't have to span all the way across. I could just look at one group. Could I have everyone on these? Look, some of you are already moving. Praise God. Could you move in at least to this outer row? But if you are wanting to go the extra mile, you are more than welcome to move into the center sections, and that will keep me on track all the more. Also, if you would like, Brother Aaron Wright has a stack of handouts, and if you'd like one of those, you can all be seated. You can raise your hand. This is just a very simple handout. I do also have some pens as well, but if you'd like a handout, it's just, as you see on the screen, we're talking about a biblical approach to modern media. So this will kind of, this is just a simple worksheet you can fill out. Probably you could wait till the end, but if you have the answers already, you can fill those out as we go along, just as long as you are paying attention and not drawing. But if that helps you pay attention, by all means, go ahead. All right. Look at this participation. This is wonderful. This is the greatest group of all the groups, all right? I fall in this group, last name DeLong. So this is a wonderful group. I feel like I'm at home right here. I want to thank you all for being here tonight as we discuss a biblical approach to modern media. Brother Reaver mentioned it several months ago. We sent out a survey very techy of us, I know, and ask you all to send us several topics. And we listed several that you could choose. And this one quickly rose to the top of that list as the church has seen a growing need to address media in this type of setting. I'm thankful for that tonight, very thankful. But I will be the first to admit, I am not an expert in modern media. In fact, modern media is so vast and so far-reaching, probably there is no one who can say that they are an expert in all forms of media. That's unless you've got dozens and dozens of doctorates, you probably couldn't take that moniker or put it in front of your name. But there are several trends I have noticed, some that are obvious, some that are a little more subtle. And several of those trends are what we're going to discuss here tonight, along with some staggering statistics, to say the least, concerning media use in our modern culture. And then, of course, we're going to focus and talk about several biblical principles in light of those trends and statistics. Thankful to tell you tonight that the Word of God is powerful. And it is alive to the point where over 2 millennia later, it still addresses every area of our lives, even modern media. Now, we don't see a whole lot of thou shalt not watch this or thou shalt not search this person's name on Facebook. We don't see that. Thou shalt not creep on Facebook. But there are principles that we can follow and principles that will help us, and we'll focus on those. On that note, I do want to apologize in advance. I will not be able to address every form of media. I told you it's so far-reaching. In fact, I told Brother Reaver last week, trying to fit all of media in a 40-minute session is like trying to fit an elephant inside of a thimble. Those are the exact words I use. I don't know where I got them, but that's what I said. And I think it's pretty obvious. It's almost impossible, but we're going to look at modern media in general and then discuss our apostolic approach to it. So if you're ready, we're going to dive in. We got a couple. You're ready. As many of you know, we are surrounded by an almost innumerable amount of devices. I've got two devices right here. Mediums, forms of media in our current age. So I want to start this session by getting a feel for the room and for this topic we're going to be discussing within this group. So I'm going to ask you to indulge me again for a moment. I want you to raise your hand if you use or have used any form of media I'm going to list in just a moment, okay? Now, my primary goal is not to paint media as this evil force or agent, although it can be used for evil. That's not my primary goal, but I do want to try to gauge its impact on individual lives. So try not to tense up on me, and I'm gonna list a couple things to me, and you'll see that many of these are everyday, have everyday applications. They are useful for everyday life. Those of you who cannot leave home without your phone, you know it's useful to have something on you you can connect with people, or in case of emergencies, get in touch with somebody. They have everyday applications, so don't tense up on me. But I want to poll this room and get a feel for how widespread media use is. So I'll give you a softball one. Okay, I want you to raise your hand if you have a cell phone. Keep it up. Oh my Lord. Look at all these cell phone users. Okay, put your hand down if you have a smartphone. Okay, a smartphone, raise your hand. All right, we may have lost a couple people. That's okay. How many use or have a laptop or tablet? Thomas didn't even put his hand down. He just knew you must have got my notes. How many have or use, whether at work or home, an LED or 4K screen or some type of screen that you have? Work or home? Monitor? LED screen? Some call it a TV, okay? Or a TV, depending on where you put the accent. How many here have internet or Wi-Fi at home? Okay, we're very connected, all right. How many are on Facebook? What about Instagram? Oh, wow, awesome. Okay, what about Snapchat? Okay, this is great. I like this. This is telling me where we're at. Okay, what about LinkedIn? Anyone on LinkedIn? Okay, all you business people. Okay, how many have ever used what is known as YouTube? Okay, some of you have heard of that before. All right, what about, how many of you ever listened to the radio? Oh, I'm getting, some of you are like, oh, I'm not going to raise my hand this entire time. Well, good, you've listened to the radio. What about, how many of you have a streaming subscription? You're able to stream video content. That could be Netflix or any number of streaming services. Okay? All right, just a couple more. Text or email? How many text or email? Okay. What about you play a game on your phone or a console at least once a week? Fortnite, yes, Fortnite. All right, we got a couple there. What about how many use apps? You use apps whether on your computer, phone, okay? Wow, very techie group here, okay. How many of you or listen to the news? This is the last one. Listen to the news whether on your phone, computer, tablet, radio, or via monitor, TV, all that. Raise your hand. Okay. All right, you can put your hands down. That's the last one. Thank you for helping me out. Thomas is going to keep it up the entire time. Now, if you did not raise your hand, I don't know if we had anyone here that didn't raise your hand, but if you didn't, you probably found out very quickly you are the exception to the rule that is changing every year and very likely every single day. The fact is, media surrounds us, okay? We are inundated. We are affected by modern forms of media on a daily and even a momentary basis. We're affected by it. In our modern society, especially in the United States of America, we are so connected. And modern forms, devices, and mediums of media are more accessible, more widespread, more pervasive, more intrusive than we often realize. Now, you're probably already getting the sense that I am recounting the statement I made earlier, saying that I'm not here to paint media as this negative force or agent in the world. And in a way, you may be justified if you get that sense. Because the fact is, I'll be brutally honest, I find it hard to remain impartial when I talk about media in general. And the very nature of tonight's lesson may reflect it. But the fact is, media is a tool. It's a tool. Just like any other tool or medium, it's an instrument that can be used for both positive and negative purposes. When I was younger, one of my chores around the house was to clean the pool in our backyard. I would use this skimmer with a very long handle, had a pole on the end, and you'd get all the leaves and all the dirt out of the pool. One day, I had accidentally left the skimmer in the bottom of the pool. My dad can attest to this because he's the one that pointed it out. The automatic pool vacuum was also in the pool. You just set it in there, and it's connected to the pump, and it just kind of goes along and just cleans all the algae out of the pool. Well, it caught on to the skimmer head and began to push that skimmer and the pole into the liner of the pool. And eventually, it wore a hole in that liner and punched all the way through it, compromising the integrity of the pool. I was in big trouble. But in essence, the same tool I used to clean the impurities out of that vessel of water was the one that compromised the integrity of the pool and allowed those impurities in. In the same light, media is a tool that can be used and should be used for good. It's also a tool that fallen mankind and the enemy of our souls has twisted to alter the integrity of society and individual lives. And in addition to that, I'm not exaggerating tonight when I say, of all the tools and weapons that the enemy has employed to propel sin and darkness in the world, modern media is at the forefront. In fact, I'm convinced it's probably one of the enemy's favorite and most potent weapons he's ever employed. He was just waiting for the day that Facebook came out. I'm joking, but seriously. In many ways, he has taken the ingenuity and innovation of mankind, these things that we work so hard to create, and these things that God gave us the tools and the talent to create, and he has almost completely turned them against us. And this is why many of us have often viewed media as this negative agent I discuss. It's also why I'm often skeptical and I'm guarded against it on a personal level. And I'm certain that when you hear the statistics I'm going to read in just a moment, you may also come to the same conclusion. But I want you to remember after all of this, maybe hard, remember and consider the basis of what we discussed. Just as media can be used in a negative way, it can and also should be used in a positive way, an instrument for the kingdom of God. It should be. It's going to be there. Unless some EMP worldwide takes it all out, media is going, it's just a fact of life. So we can either use it negatively or use it positively. It's an instrument. We'll see if that position holds up once we're done with these statistics. Eric's going to help me out. I'll show you some of these on the screen. 2018 has been a banner year in the realm of media. You see it up there. number of internet users worldwide has eclipsed 4 billion users for the first time. Roughly, there's under 7.5 billion. It's getting close to 7.5 billion. Of those users, Americans in particular spend 60 hours a month on the internet. Actually, it is a month. I just typed that in wrong. Thank you all for pointing it out. I will change that for next week. They are getting the best lesson possible. In a single month, the average web user visits 2,646 sites, logs on 57 times. If you were to add all the hours back to back, you see it there. In a year's time, you would be surfing the web for an entire 30 days or 1 month. Roughly 720 hours worth of internet time a year is the average. The number of social media users worldwide in 2018 is also up. It's currently at 3.196 billion. In the U.S. alone, 68% of adults between the ages of 18 and 29 are on Facebook. Of Facebook's users, it's estimated 100 million hours of video is viewed daily on Facebook. 100 million hours. 500 million plus total photos are uploaded to Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and Flickr on a daily basis. 400 million of those are pictures of what we ate that day. I made that up. Some of you knew that way. Every second, 11 people use social media for the first time. In that amount of time. Switching to devices, the number of mobile phone users in 2018 is 5.135 billion people. In 2018, teen smartphone use in the U.S. is at 91%. In 2011, it was at 36%. A 2017 New York Times study shows teens and adults check their smartphones at least 150 times a day and text at least 110 times a day. This doesn't include Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook Messenger, texting options. We often pick up our phones and view them without even realizing it's muscle memory. Why did I just pick up my phone and look at it? I don't even have anything to look at. Muscle memory. Cable TV and streaming is up. 1970, about 7% of homes had cable television. 2008, about 60%. And in 2017, we're around the same mark, 59% have cable, but that's not very accurate because most people are cutting the cord, as they say, and they're switching to online streaming services. So that number, if we were to view that with streaming services, would be far above 59%. YouTube has entered this market. They've done their own studies on the subject. They celebrated their study by saying this. You can put that up there real quick, Eric. The sentence isn't finished, so don't worry. He'll hit it in just a second. People around the world are now watching 1 billion hours of YouTube content. How often do you think we watch that? Every single day. 1 billion hours of YouTube content. If you were to sit down and watch that straight, it would take you over 100,000 years to watch it. And if you spend 100,000 years traveling at the speed of light, you could travel from one end of the Milky Way to the other. According to YouTube, this is a tremendous accomplishment. 300 hours of video is uploaded to YouTube every minute. There are 4,950 million YouTube videos watched every single day. Add that to the 10 billion hours per month users spend watching Netflix and the 700 million hours Hulu streams a month, and it's apparent we have a problem. We have a problem. The most sobering part about all this is that these are not the most staggering statistics I found. The impact that media, specifically like I mentioned, media bent to distract and destroy, the impact that media is having on both current and future generations, we have no clue. They're trying to figure this out. But every year, new stats are coming out, and people are just like, oh, wow, this is incredible. But they haven't even, oftentimes they're not, these ones that I'm presenting are hot off the press. But even they will change in a year's time. Study of the Journal of Pediatrics says the average 8-year-old child spends 8 hours a day on media. teen typically spends more than 11 hours of their day in front of a screen. More than two-thirds of children in the U.S. have a television set in their bedroom. This amounts to the fact that children spend more time watching television than time spent in school, on average, which means there's a whole lot of kids that are spending more time. Children spend more time watching television than any other activity except sleep. This is according to ParentsTV.org. It's a group that's trying to raise awareness of media and its impact. Television reaches children and young people at a younger age and for more time than any other socializing institution except the family. And many times it reaches children more than the family does. By age 18, a U.S. youth will have seen 16,000 simulated murders and 200,000 acts of violence, according to the American Psychiatric Association. 200,000 acts of violence. I haven't done the math on how many days old an 18-year-old teenager is, but that is more than several acts of violence a day that they view. The results are clear. One-third of households with internet access are protecting their children, which means two-thirds are not. 55% of teens give out their personal information. This is the next slide, Eric. To someone that they don't know, including photos and physical descriptions. 67% of students and young people say they know how to hide what they do online from their parents. We don't give them enough credit. They're smart. 43% of teens say they would change their online behavior if they knew it was viewable by their parents. And half of all sex crimes against a minor involving social media. The social media platform was what was used to initiate that crime. 300%. 300% increase in recent years of sexual assault cases related to social media. 44% of tweens, preteens, and young teenagers admitted they've watched something online their parents don't approve of. The one that gutted me, 70% of children aged 8 to 17 years old have accidentally encountered pornographic material online, often through a web search or while doing homework, material that will stay in their prefrontal cortex for years, depending on the trauma involved upon first viewing that material. 43% of kids have been bullied online. 1 in 10 report it to their parents. These are the results of unchecked and unguarded media in homes and families. When placed in the hands of fallen mankind, modern media produces these and many more drastic results on a daily basis. I just didn't have time. I know that was a lot to throw at you, but I didn't have time to list everything. It's overwhelming. When you add all of that to the trends we're going to discuss in just a moment, you have on your hands a very potent and pervasive weapon that leaves tremendous spiritual, emotional, even physical impressions on both adults and children alike. Media on the loose can and will alter the integrity of your life. When it is not controlled, it will alter the integrity of your life. It will find a way, or you will find a way, to use it in the wrong way. And it can do that through several trends. These have been observed and they've been documented. First one is very obvious. The demoralization of modern media. It's getting worse. No secret that media has become more and more immoral and lewd. In fact, New York Times, which is interesting, but they were the ones who reported a study of over 1,900 films created in about a 10-year span when media began to shift all the more. They said or found that more violence in sex exists in PG movies. PG movies. It's not PG-13. PG parental guidance suggested movies and more of those elements and profanity in PG-13 movies than in years prior. Okay, well, that's pretty obvious. But also found more sex and profanity in R-rated movies than a decade ago, okay? Additionally, since 2009, PG-13 movies have featured as much or more violence than R-rated films released in the same years. In 2012, there was more gun violence in PG-13 films than in the R-rated ones that came out in the same year. Same is true in many other areas of media. There's things that were just so unacceptable and deplorable 10 years ago that are absolutely not just allowed, but they are celebrated now. This is a trend, and if we're not careful, that trend can impact us in several ways. Several months ago, Pastor Williford noted the decline of culture in general. He gave this chart in our Sunday AM service. If you could put that up, Eric. Graphic shows the world on a downward trend. In a general sense, media, modern media is also on a downward trend as far as morality is concerned. But pastor's call to the church was that we remain the church and we stay true and steadfast in our pursuit of holiness. Just because the world is on a downward slope, that does not justify any ground we would try to give up as a church. In the same way, we cannot start giving place to videos, media, songs, things that are deplorable or things that we wouldn't watch 5 years ago just because they're becoming more accepted. Just because everyone talks about it and it's celebrated, and yeah, this is the number one show in the U.S. It's widely accepted. That does not justify it. It still needs to pass through the filter of the Word of God and holiness. And just because everyone else is watching it, that does not make it acceptable in an apostolic home, family, and individual. So he said the church has to remain steadfast. And if we're going to do that, we cannot fall into this trend or the second one. Very long word, desensitization. Just a long word that says the more that we are around morality or immorality, the more we become numb to it. We don't know that it's there. We're surrounded by it. You can hardly drive on Highway 270 without seeing it. It's on our billboards. It's in our workplaces. It's on our smartphones. It surfaces whether we want it or not. So we become desensitized to it. We were in a setting like this several years ago, a teaching setting, talking about some media things. And this was years. This is probably, I don't know, could have been almost 8 years ago. And a mentor of mine, a teacher of mine, he told me, he said, you need to go on a media fast. He said, when you come off that fast, cut out media from your life. And when you come off that fast, start to take note of things that you notice that you didn't notice before. Take note of those things. I was amazed when it happened, the clarity I had. I began to notice subtle agendas and innuendos and things that were, again, subtle, but they were inappropriate that you don't notice before. Why? Because we become desensitized to it. We are numb to it. I was going to throw an analogy in there, sports analogy, but I don't play sports, so I'm going to move on. We have to be aware. If you step back from media for long enough and re-engage, you'll notice it very quickly, which is why we often, at least once a year, we call our students to go on a media fast. And it's tough, and I know it's tough. I had some of them, what day are we breaking this fast? Isn't it on like Saturday? And I'm like, no, we're going through Sunday night. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, I thought you said Saturday. I already broke it, so is it okay if I just get on faith? You know. Well, we've all been there because we use it so much. It's tough. When you step away from it, you're like, you don't realize how much you use your phone or how much you're getting onto social media apps without even knowing. It's muscle memory. You can't find it regularly, but your thumb knows exactly where to go. We're desensitized. Not easy to do, but those times help us see a lot more clearly. Help us notice trends like these two in the last one we're going to discuss. Several months ago, Brother Mark Brown from Iowa was with us speaking on linked event sessions. He spoke of this last one. It's called the current trend. He used an example of Facebook, the video feed. Many of you know what I'm talking about. You get on Facebook and you watch a video. And before you know it, before it ends, the next one's loading and it comes up and, okay, well, this one looks funny. I'll watch this one and then the next one, then the next one, then the next one. You get caught in a current. And several things happen when you get caught in this current. On Facebook, but it happens on YouTube and other sites have them as well. First of all, you spend an ungodly amount of time watching videos about cats or how to cook pasta or DIY, you know, how to make a tire into a seat, okay? Like, who finds a random tire sitting around? I don't know. Maybe you have them. It's a tremendous time waster. But secondly, you have no control over what video comes next. So almost inevitably, you will end up watching something you did not plan to watch, and it may be something inappropriate. When you get caught in that current, it is very difficult to pull away. That's why those news feeds are so effective. It's just a current of endless content. News feeds, related videos, Netflix binge options. Are you still watching? It'll just go to the next one. It's difficult to get out of it. In fact, he mentioned there's a popular movie maker or studio that's caught on to this trend, and they've exploited it. This has been documented. Most of you have probably heard of this studio called Disney, and another one that they're associated with called Marvel Movie Studios, or Marvel. Over the last 10 years or so, they produced one of the most successful movie franchises in history based on Marvel Comics. Several years in, they had gained tremendous momentum. They had created a current of viewers and fans and more finances than they knew what to do with. And that's when they introduced their first R-rated film. It's called Deadpool. Brother Mark Brown described that like a moth to the flame, there were parents who almost unwittingly, you think, well, they should know better, but they had gone to these videos over and over, and they'd taken all their kids with them, and it was a great time. Their kids loved the Marvel franchise. Almost unwittingly took their children to a film laced with profanity, strong violence, sexual content, and graphic nudity according to their own rating. They were caught in a current that carried them where they more than likely from the beginning never really intended to go. It's just several trends of a modern age of media that has been dictated and manipulated in a master stroke by the enemy and by a fallen mankind. The fact is, we need God's help. We need his help. And we need biblical principles that will help us. I mentioned this, I know it's tough to believe after all of that. When you boil it down, modern media is a tool. It's an instrument. Its use depends on the intent and the goal of the user. It's not a living entity or a living enemy unto itself. It can and it has been used for good, but in light of the facts and all the implications that we've just discussed, it is absolutely not a device, a tool, or an avenue that should be left unguarded or unchecked at the door of our homes, our individual lives, our children, or the church. It has to be filtered, curbed, and if necessary, altogether stopped at the gateway of our lives. If we're going to use it correctly, if we're going to be using it safely, we have to set clear and consistent filters and boundaries based upon biblical principles in a lifestyle of holiness. The reality is we're going to draw a line somewhere. Unless you expect any form of content, no matter what it is and no matter how inappropriate it is, unless you expect all that to come into your house, the reality is you're drawing a line somewhere right now. But the question is, where have you drawn it? And is that line adequately protecting you and your family? Sometimes the answer to that question is overcomplicated because there's so many different types of media and it's tough to draw a straight line through them all. I won't listen to music laced with certain content, but I will allow the same content to permeate what I watch and what I allow on my YouTube playlist. Or I won't set filters, or I will set filters for the desktop at home, but I set no filters for the Netflix account. We can tend to overcomplicate and really kind of compartmentalize our boundaries based on the media. But I think tonight that the line becomes a whole lot clearer and a lot simpler when we read a passage I've studied recently in Joshua 24. And some of you probably knew I was going here. He wasn't referencing media in this passage, but he's referencing idolatry and worldliness. He drew this line and he said, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you'll serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house," he makes this bold declaration, "we will serve the Lord." This time he had no clue who was going to come on his side of the line, but he makes this declaration. This is who we're going to serve. And this level of commitment really simplifies where we draw the line. This is where it places the benchmark. Does the media that I am consuming and allowing in my life, does it honor God or does it displease him? Do my choices in media reflect I serve a holy God, or do my choices reflect the fact that I am serving either myself or the world? Is what I am watching, listening to, commenting, posting, reading, experiencing, is it on this side of the line or is it on that side of the line? Or have I drawn lines at all? If you have no boundaries for your family or for yourself, tonight would be a great night to draw some. It'd be a great time to set some boundaries. And the boundaries you draw for yourself may be completely different from the family that's sitting next to you or the individual that's sitting next to you. But we have to be sure that we have them at all. We have them at the very least. And then, no matter where they're drawn, they have to reflect the fact that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do my boundaries reflect that? When Joshua made that statement, he didn't have access to media. He wasn't holding a Game Boy or an iPhone. Game Boy, I just went like 10 years back. Probably even further than that. Somebody got a Game Boy. He didn't have access to media. But he was setting up a boundary for his family in the face of idolatry. And you notice when he sets this boundary, he made sure that on his side of that proverbial line, a distinction was made. There would be no guessing what side he was on. On his side of the line, it would be abundantly clear righteousness was going to prevail. Pursuit of holiness would prevail. There'd be no question that on his side of the line, they served the Lord. On the other side of the line, they served idolatry, their idols, they served their flesh, they served the world. But Joshua made sure the line was drawn, that his side of the line would reflect a family that served and honored God. So let me ask you, have you drawn a line for yourself and your family? If so, where is it? Does it need to be moved? Has God been dealing with you about moving it? And maybe he'll deal with you on a daily basis about moving it. Does it reflect your desire to serve God and not your flesh? Where is your line tonight? On a personal note, I'm very thankful that my parents drew lines in our home. There were just some things they did not allow in our house. And if by some chance they made their way into our house, usually through me or my brother, smuggling games, we got it. Look, everyone's sorry, throwing you under the bus, my friend. He's a good guy. It was me. Don't look at him. But if by some chance we got a game from a friend at school, or we got a VHS and that, this is what we used. We used VHS. If Dad found it, it was gone immediately. There were games we did not play. There were movies we didn't watch. There was music we didn't listen to. There was websites we didn't visit. My parents made those things very clear. And tonight I'm thankful they set up boundaries that protected us. I know there were things I couldn't do that all my friends were doing. Sometimes when I was a teenager, I felt like they got to do more than I did. I was somehow missing out. You know what I was missing out on? A whole lot of junk. Just to put it plainly. The reality, what mattered to Mom and Dad, was that we were safe. We were protected. There was a line that was drawn in our home, a boundary that was consistent, and it was sure. We were safe. Think about it, okay? The fact is, we will go to any length to protect our homes from physical harm and our families. We'll install foolproof locks. We'll hire security teams and put systems in our house and wire things up when we're not electricians. We risk shock, death. We'll make sure that the smoke alarms are checked, and we make sure the batteries are up to date, and we make sure we got fire extinguishers. We make sure the house is up to code, the vehicle's inspected, and it's running right, and emissions, it passes all of that. It's licensed. We make sure our medicine cabinets are full, that our insurance cards are pocketed at all times. But the reality is, we can do all of that, set all of that up, and completely miss the attack and the affront of the enemy and modern culture against our family. We can allow something in our homes that will do far more damage than any physical harm. Something that will do eternal harm. The reality is, there are people, millions and probably billions, that on a daily basis not only allow these things in, but they invite them in knowingly and unknowingly. Through unchecked and unbridled media, we can allow the enemy to walk straight into our homes, carrying every agenda, every false doctrine, every immoral activity he can with him. We've got to set up boundaries. Those boundaries should serve to help us fulfill the command of Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, the writer says, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Remove your foot from evil. You can see from this passage and principle, the writer Solomon is extremely intentional about guarding the seat of human emotion, the heart. For he says, out of it spring the issues of life. What you allow into your heart will ultimately spring out or will surface in more ways than one. It'll manifest itself in your speech. You ever notice you listen to a song or you hear it in a store and you just start singing it and then you actually listen to the words that you're singing, you're like, oh my Lord. Or you listen to a song and it's upbeat and you're like, ah, oh, like you're feeling good. You put the sunroof back. You don't even like to roll down the windows. The wind's messing up your hair, but you're feeling good because of a song. Or you're quoting a movie line. You don't even know what it's from. You can't remember. These things are in us. And again, not all bad. I like an upbeat song. I listen to upbeat songs every morning to try to wake me up. But the message of that song is important. It's very important. What you allow in your heart will manifest on the outside in some form or another. So it stands to reason what you allow in your heart should be filtered with all diligence, Solomon said. Should not be a half-hearted effort. It should be a continual filtering in order to keep your lips from perversion, your eyes from wandering, your feet from slipping. The fact is, whatever you choose to consume or digest, especially with regards to media, will in some way or another affect your heart, which will in turn affect every other area of your life. What you eat affects your heart. Last week we had a meeting that went kind of late, and at Chick-fil-A at the meeting, which I cannot control myself when it comes to Chick-fil-A, okay? But we ate that Chick-fil-A very late, and the next morning I woke up, and you guessed it, heartburn for days, okay? I found out very, I'm like, what did I eat? Chick-fil-A, yeah. At 9 o'clock at night, it will affect you. If what you eat physically, obviously, it affects your heart, it affects your body. I'm telling you, what you consume through media will affect your heart and it will affect your spirit. You are what you eat. At least that's what some scientists think. They may not be scientists at all. Keep your heart with all diligence. David said, I'll behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Walk within my home with a perfect heart. How? How will you do that, David? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoever slanders his neighbor, I'll cut him off. He that has a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way will serve with me. He that works deceit shall not dwell in my house, not in my house. He that tells lies will not tarry in my sight. When we read this passage, it sounds a little extreme. David's saying, for the sake of his heart, he won't let any evil thing before his eyes. Nor will he allow anyone who slanders or gossips or boasts or tries to deceive into his presence or in his house. In other words, in order to keep his heart with all diligence, there were just certain things David would not let in his house or around him. He lists these things out. Not in my house. It may take some extreme measures. It may take some extreme boundaries, but keeping your heart is worth it, for out of it streams the issues of life. We're almost done, but I got a quick story I want to tell you all. A young lady in our youth group approached me several years ago. She mentioned it would be okay if I shared this story. Been dealing with some overwhelming fear and anxiety just all of a sudden sprung on her. She told me about it, and we began to talk through what she felt. Over the course of that conversation, I really can't explain what prompted it, but I just asked her, I said, what have you been watching recently? What have you been watching lately? She told me she'd been watching this popular show recently, and that at one point there was a scene that involved a witch in witchcraft. said the show had nothing to do with those things at all. Of course, they had worked it in. They had included it in that scene. As she talked through that, she realized, you could see kind of the lights come on, that as soon as she had watched that scene, that was the moment that fear gripped her, overwhelmed her. Through the medium of popular media, everyone else was watching it. A door into her spirit had opened for fear and anxiety. And I'm not an expert in the spiritual realm or how it relates to modern media, but I can tell you, it's important we guard our hearts with all diligence. It's important that we draw the line. Because there are just some things that should not be allowed in our homes and should not be allowed in our hearts. Media is a powerful tool in our age, one that will affect us emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. And we need to set clear guidelines and boundaries on how we'll use it and how we won't. Will I use it to honor God? Or will I use it to appease my flesh? Will I use it to propagate the gospel, or will I use it to spread man-made agendas and ideologies? Will my media choices reflect my desire to live as a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation? Or will my media consumption serve only to fulfill an ungodly and unholy appetite? Where do I draw the line? If you ask the Apostle Paul, I believe he would draw it right here in Philippians 4:8. I love this. It makes it so clear. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, they're of a good report, any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the promise attached to that. How do I know where to draw that boundary tonight? What guide can I use to approach media in a biblical and safe manner? I'm sure there's so many other sources, a lot of opinions we can find, but Paul pretty well summed it up. If it's true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, full of virtue, altogether praiseworthy, I can dwell and meditate on these things. Against such there is no law. And that doesn't really sound like a whole lot of media out there, but I think that's the point tonight. That may be an extreme boundary, but it's a sure and it's a wonderful place to start. Where do I draw the line? I can draw it right where the Word of God tells me. Guard my heart with all diligence by thinking, meditating on, consuming, watching, listening to those things which check the boxes. And I can trust that the promise will follow, the peace, presence, and blessings of God will follow when I honor Him with my media choices. Would you stand with me? You did it. 44 minutes and you did it. Thank you. This is obviously a heavy topic. And when you list all those statistics, it becomes overwhelming. But I think even just the three or four biblical passages I gave you tonight, those have helped me tremendously, have guided me. And if we stick with those, just those, which there are many others, I did not have time to get to. You all would be here just about all night. If we stick with those, it will help us navigate modern media. Like I said, we encounter it everywhere. But if we will set our sights and we'll draw our lines based on biblical principles, we cannot go wrong. In light of what we talked about and the impact of media, I feel like it'd be good if we prayed to wrap this up tonight. I handed out those handouts, and after we pray, if you have some time and want to stick around, by all means, there's just at least three boundaries on there. Be very specific. These are things that we will not allow in our home or in my life. And I also put on there the top one. You'll see this is the form of media that impacts me the most, because it's very crucial and critical to note, what is it that impacts you the most? What is it that probably your area of weakness with regards to media? If you are on Facebook over 10 hours a day. That's probably your weakness. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. Not walking in the Holy Ghost per se, but that's probably your weakness. So be careful and identify that. But we're going to pray that God would help us. Some of us may leave here tonight and families may discuss this and we may set boundaries for the first time or renew old boundaries or set altogether new boundaries and move them up a little bit. We need God's help and we need his wisdom. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. God would help us as we try to apply these principles to modern media. Would you pray, Lord? In Jesus' name, we're asking for your help tonight, God. We know that media is everywhere, Lord. We know that it's so vast, God, that it affects us more than we realize. So we're asking for your help tonight, Lord, to apply these things. In Jesus' name, help us to set those boundaries, God, that reflect who we are and that reflect that we serve a holy God. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to keep our hearts with all diligence, that you would search our hearts on a daily basis, Lord. And if there's anything or any area of weakness or any area that we're blind to, I pray you'd reveal those things to us, God. Help us to realize some areas that we need help in, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name, help us to meditate on things that are pure, that are lovely, God, that are true, that are of a good report. Help us, Lord, as we navigate through modern media. We want to use it, Lord, as an instrument of righteousness and of light. In Jesus' name, we're asking for your help, and we thank you in advance. Amen. If you have any input or feedback or anything you'd like to let me know about with regards to media, I'm all ears for that, and we won't open it up here. You can come see me. But if you want one of those handouts, I believe they're still in the back. Take one as you leave. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Next week, we're coming back again, and Brother Peter Wright will be speaking here. You're going to want to be here for that. Thank you all.